Arjuna said, Stita Pragasya, of one who is situated in fixed Krishna consciousness. Ka, what?
Me.
Bhasha,
language.
Samadhistasya, of one situated in trance. Keshava, O Krishna. Okay. Stitadihi, one fixed in Krishna consciousness. Kim, what? Prabhasheta, speaks. Kim,
at what?
No, how?
Asita
does remain still. Vrajeta walks. Kim, why, what, where, when? No, how? Arjuna said, O Krishna, what are the symptoms of one whose consciousness is thus merged in transcendence? How does he speak? What is his language? How does he sit? And how does he walk?
Arjuna answered, O Krishna, milyen jelekkel ismerhetettel azt, akinek tudata ilyetlen szemesbe merül? Hogyan és milyen szavakkal beszél? Hogyan ül és hogyan jár?
Now, this question is very, very interesting.
Ez a kérdés nagyon-nagyon érdekes.
Krishna is asking, what are the... He's been talking about Buddhi Yoga, and now he wants to know, how can he recognize a Buddhi Yogi?
Krishna eddig a Buddhi Yogáról beszélt, és akkor Arjuna most azt kérdezi, hogy nem tudom felismerni a Buddhi Yogi.
So first he asked, what are the general symptoms of a Buddhi Yogi? And then he asked, how does he speak? What is his language? How does he sit? And how does he walk? So, what do we think the answers are? Does he speak Hungarian or French or German or a self-realized soul? He speaks English, obviously, right? How does he sit? He sits like a yogi, right? He doesn't sit in chairs. And how does he walk? Well, Prabhupada was a very fast walker. So is this what Krishna means? This question is, it's really very interesting. Purport. As there are symptoms for each and every man in terms of his particular situation, similarly, one who is in Krishna consciousness has his particular nature, talking, walking, thinking, feeling, etc. As a rich man has his symptoms by which he is known as a rich man, as a diseased man has his symptoms by which he is known as a diseased man, or as a learned man has his symptoms, so a man in transcendental consciousness of Krishna has specific symptoms in various dealings. One can know his specific symptoms from the Bhagavad Gita. Most important is how the man in Krishna consciousness speaks. For speech is the most important quality of any man. It is said that a fool is undiscovered till he opens his mouth. As long as he does not speak. And certainly a well-dressed fool cannot be identified unless he speaks. But as soon as he speaks, he reveals himself at once. The immediate symptom of a Krishna-conscious man is that he speaks only of Krishna and of matters relating to him, Krishna. Other symptoms then automatically follow, as stated below. This is the last section that we're dealing with in the second chapter, and it's a big section. Deals with 54 through 72, about 19 verses. Up to now, we have gone through the first section, verses 1 through 12 or 13, like that. The theme there was, what was the first theme? What did we learn at the beginning of the second chapter? Yes.
About surrender, how to surrender.
Yes, it talked about Arjuna surrendering. But what was the theme? What was the principle? Yeah. Yes, there's no shelter in this material world, and when you understand that, then what? Huh? No?
Then we can turn to the spiritual.
Yes, when you realize that there's no other shelter, then you can turn to a spiritual authority. As long as you're thinking that you can do it on your own, by your mind, by your plan making, you won't look for help. The second section was 11 through 30, and Krishna talked about jnana. What was the theme of that section? Anybody remember? What does Krishna talk about? He's smashed Arjuna, asochanan vasocha stram pragyavadangscha bhashase gatasuna gatasamscha nanu sochandi panditaha. You're speaking like a pundit, but you're falsely lamenting. So he smashes him, and then what does he speak about? Can you say? Yes? No? Okay. Who else is going to tell me? It's the $64 million question. Yes. Yes, he speaks about the nature of the soul. And what does he stress about the soul? It can't be killed. So he tries to convince Arjuna that even if he fights and kills Drona and Bhishma and Kripacharya and so many great personalities, but the soul won't be killed.
még akkor is, hogyha harcol és megöli Bhishmát, Dronát, Kripácsárját, vagy sok harcos, akkor a lélek nem fog meghalni.
It's very interesting. He talks about nainam chindanti shastrani, that the soul cannot be killed by any weapon. Nainam dahati pavakaha. The soul cannot be withered by the wind. The soul cannot be wet by water. The soul cannot be burned by fire. Now, why does Krishna say these things to Arjuna? What is significant here? Arjuna was a Maharathi, a powerful fighter. He could fight with millions of soldiers at one time. So he had a bow and arrow. Now, how far do you think he would get against NATO with their bombs and their F-15s and their, you know, big guns with his bow and arrow? How far would he get? Say something. He would win. Okay. Why? Huh? He has special weapons. What kind of weapons does he have? Yeah. I didn't... Wait. What kind of weapons does Arjuna have? Huh? You don't know? What kind of weapons does he have? Just bows and arrows? Huh? Yeah. He had? Mantra weapons, but what about those mantra weapons? He had the Vayu weapon, the Astra from Vayu, by which he could create a giant wind. But Krishna said, don't worry, the soul is not withered by the wind. He had the weapon of Agni. A weapon, he could shoot an arrow with mantra and create a huge fire. Krishna said the soul is not burned by fire. Arjuna had so many weapons from Indra by which he could create a torrent of rain so that the whole army would become bewildered. So Krishna told Arjuna in this Jnana section that the soul is not wet by water. When understanding the Bhagavad Gita, we have to transport ourselves to the Kurukshetra, 5,000 years ago, there we are. There's the army on the other side. There's Krishna. So Krishna talks about the nature of the soul. Then in the next section, what does he do? He reverses direction. What does he do? He's been giving all kinds of spiritual reasons. Now what does he do? Somebody from the ladies. Yes. Yes, he starts to give material reasons. When you're making a debate with someone or an argument, you have to argue from different angles. So your opponent cannot escape in any way. So Krishna tells Arjuna that material happiness comes by executing one's duty, and neglect of duty brings material downfall. He tells Arjuna that it's his duty to fight. And even his enemies that he doesn't want to kill, they won't respect him if he gives up his duty and goes to the forest. We all have to work in life. You can't refrain from doing some kind of work. So Krishna is telling Arjuna, you work at your prescribed duty in a spirit of detachment. And then in the next section, Krishna talks more about buddhi yoga or nishkam karma. And how you can free yourself from bondage by acting in the right consciousness. Now, who can say what is good and what is bad in the world?
Huh?
The lawmaker, yes. But by what method would he prescribe something as good and something bad? Yes.
Nothing can be prescribed as good or bad.
Very good. That's a very important point. Everything in this world is bad. We don't belong here. We're totally spiritual beings. We belong in the spiritual world. This is just the action of the senses and the sense objects of material nature. So, dvaite badra badra gyan sarva manodharm. Someone who thinks that e bala e manda, he's in illusion. Someone who thinks this is good, this is bad, he's in total illusion. Now we should think about that also. The only thing that is good in this world is that which helps us to get out of this world. And the only thing is bad is that which gets us more entangled in this miserable material world. Just like there was a great preacher in the Ramanuja Sampradaya. He was one of the acharyas before Ramanuja. They were called alwars.
Sikere volt az, hogy felszereltem, aki Rámánucsot megelőzte az alvárokat.
So this Tirumangai Alvar, he was in charge of the deity of Ranganath in South India.
Ez az alvár volt megbízva az egyik deityvel, Ranganáthtal Dél-Indiában.
Ranganath is a giant deity of Vishnu lying down in the causal ocean.
Ranganath egy nagy Vishnu múlti, ami fekszik a okozati óceánon.
So this devotee had this beautiful deity, but he had no temple. He didn't have a nice temple for this deity.
Ennek a baktának volt ez a nagyon szép múltia, de nem volt egy szép templom hozzá.
But he had four disciples who had mystic powers. One of his disciples could open any door. You know this story? Huh? Yeah? He had another disciple who could read anybody's mind. He could know what you're thinking completely. He had this mystic power. Another disciple could step on someone's shadow and that person couldn't move. And he had another disciple who could compete with Jesus Christ. He could walk on water. So he was discussing with his disciples how everybody was wealthy, but the businessmen were miserly. They were not giving money for building a temple. So he asked his disciples, can we allow this to happen? And they said, no, Master, no. So they organized a gang of bandits. And they began to go around to all the wealthy men and open their houses and open their money locker and steal their money and do all kinds of tricks and bring that money to Tirumangai. So this Tirumangai Alvar, he built the biggest temple in India. Ranganath Temple. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stayed there during the monsoon season, and we have a monument in that temple with the feet of Lord Chaitanya.
Chaitanya Mahaprabhu tartózkodott a monszun évszak alatt, és nekünk van egy ilyen szobor a Lord Chaitanya lótuszlábáról.
So, anyway, there's more to the story, but the point is that Tirumangai Alvar was stealing. That's bad. But because he was Krishna's pure devotee, even though he was stealing, it was for the highest cause, and so it was actually good for everyone. So, it's not the activity itself that binds us to the world. But it's the consciousness in which we do the activity. So, this last section, as I said, deals with these four questions that Arjuna has asked. Arjuna's first question, Krishna answers. He says, Prajahati yada kaman sarvan partho manogatan atmani evatmana tushtas ditta pragyasya tadochate. That prajahati yada kaman, when prajahati means give up, gives up, and kaman means desire. So, yada, when, Krishna is describing a buddhi yogi, when a man, prajahati yada kaman, gives up all kinds of material desires, sarvan partha manogatan, which arise from mental concoction, manogatan. What do people do in this material world? What's the main occupation that people are spending their time doing? We're talking about a buddhi yogi and what he doesn't do. So what do people, most people, we know they're not buddhi yogis, because what do they do? Yes, they act without thinking. Actually, they act with a lot of thinking. Yes.
Thinking about how to get sense gratification.
Yes, and what are they doing while thinking about sense gratification? They're making... No, they're making plans. Everybody's engaged in making plans how they'll enjoy sense gratification. So, actually, this is the mind's business, sankalpa and vikalpa. It's accepting things in the mind. The senses take down. They're like the mind is like a computer, and the senses are like scanners. Only he'll understand this.
A szelmének van ez a funkciója, kétféle funkció, és olyan, mint egy számítógép, az egyik olyan, hogy képeket tud beolvasni.
So the senses are taking down impressions from the world of form.
És ilyen behatásokat vagy impressziókat nyer a világ formáiról.
And each mind puts them together in a particular way. One man's pleasure is another man's poison. Beauty is in the eye of the beholder. So the mind is digesting things, and if it enjoys, then it keeps it there for a while. After some time it's bored, it's tired. Vikalpa, it kicks it out and imports something new. So we have to give up this process. You have to make the mind steady. Then the mind will be our friend, not our enemy. So, prajahati yada kaman sarvan partha manogatan atmani evatmana tushta stita pragyasta dochite. Someone is called a Buddha yogi when he gets happiness from within. He does not need to look outside to the material world for pleasure. He's experiencing the happiness of Krishna consciousness. And therefore he's able to rise above the mental plane of selfishness. Now, what is one quality, the most important thing about Arjuna's rejection of fighting? What is he thinking about mainly?
What will be good for him?
Yes, what will be good for him?
For others. What will be good for others?
Selfless.
Yes, he's thinking of the self in terms of the body, and he's thinking of his own happiness rather than Krishna's happiness. He's acting in a very selfish way. So Krishna is telling him that this is not a Buddha yogi. And then in the next two verses, Krishna talks about, first of all, he's answered generally what are the symptoms. Now, in the next two verses, he talks, or Krishna states how a Buddha yogi speaks. Now, we're going to learn here whether he speaks English or French or German. Dukeshu vanud vigna manaha, sukeshu vigata spriha, vitaraga bayakroda stitidir munir uchate. One who is not disturbed in mind, even in the midst of threefold miseries, who is not elated when there is happiness, who is free from attachment, fear and anger, is called a sage of steady mind. Yasarvatrana bishnehas tatat prapya vimuyati. Navinandati nadreshti tasya pragya pratishtita. In the material world, one who is unaffected by whatever good or evil he may obtain, neither praising it nor despising it, is firmly fixed in perfect knowledge. So, there are many verses in the Bhagavad Gita, in the Bhagavatam, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, which explain the same principle of how we should live in this world. When Parvati cursed King Chitraketu because he had laughed at her and Lord Shiva,
Parvati megátkozta Chitraketu királyt, mert nevetett rajta és Lord Shiva.
Lord Shiva, King Chitraketu came by in his flower airplane. He was a great celestial king. And he flew past Kailash, where Lord Shiva resides. And he knew that Lord Shiva was the greatest yogi, the greatest ascetic, the greatest tapasvi. And he saw Lord Shiva seated on the branch of the banyan tree. And in front of them there were so many great rishis who had performed hundreds of thousands of years of austerity. And Lord Shiva was embracing and kissing Parvati. So Chitraketu thought that was funny. Anybody would think it was funny. Here's the greatest tapasvi yogi, and here he is enjoying. So, out of respect, not disrespect, but still, Chitraketu laughed. Just like when Lord Brahma saw the child Krishna, he thought how wonderful it is that this boy is controlling everything and at the same time playing with cows. So Chitraketu was also thinking in the same way about Shiva. But Parvati could not stand the fact that someone was laughing at her husband. So she cursed him that he would become a demon. And Chitraketu accepted the curse. He said, he immediately bowed down and said, "Mother, I accept your curse." And then Lord Shiva smiled and he said to Parvati, "Narayana parasarve nakutaschana bibhyati svarga pavargasya narakesh vapitulyati darshina." That those who are Narayana para, devotees of the Lord, they're not disturbed in any condition. They're always peaceful. A Buddha yogi speak, he neither praises nor condemns good or evil, mundane good or evil. Doesn't matter what language he speaks. And then in verses 58 through 63, Krishna describes or answers Arjuna's question, how does a Buddha yogi sit? What Arjuna really means by sit is, how does he restrain himself? So Krishna gives the analogy of the tortoise. Yada sangharate chayam kurmon ganiva sarvasya indriyan indriyartebhyas tasya pragya pratishtita. Someone who knows how to withdraw his senses from the sense objects. he is a self-realized soul. It's Yehi Sansparsa Jabboga Dukha Yonaya Evate. It's the touch of the senses with the sense objects that is the source of all our suffering. So a devotee has a tongue, but he knows how to use it for eating Krishna prasadam and not sinful food. A devotee has a genital, and he uses it for creating God-conscious children, but not otherwise. He can withdraw. Now, how is the devotee able to do that? Because he has experienced a higher taste. Krishna's, again, he's describing the same question, how does a Buddha yogi restrain himself? And he says he restrains himself by experiencing transcendental happiness, which is better than material happiness. And he goes on to say that there's no other means to control the senses. The senses are so strong and powerful. Yatato hi api kaunteya purushasva vipaschita. A vipaschita means, in this case, it means a muni. So Krishna is talking about even a very learned muni who is expert at, you know, letting his mind wander here and there. He has power of discrimination. He knows the difference between matter and spirit. But he tries to control his senses by his own mental power. So many people we know practice yoga. But it's not yoga, it's boga. They're fooling themselves, they're cheating themselves. They're simply imitating. In this age of Kali Yuga especially, it's hard to control the mind by force. 5,000 years ago, when the conditions were much better, Arjuna, who was emperor of the whole world, he complained to Krishna that my mind is chanchala, restless. Pramati, Balava, Dridham, it is turbulent, obstinate, very strong. Turbulent, obstinate. Okay, oh, you'll never find it, forget it. The mind is hard to control. And Arjuna said, Vayoriva Sudhuskaram, I'd have more luck controlling the wind. Now I see that you have some windy days here in Nuvrajadam. So next time there's a windy day, I challenge you, just go out and catch a little bit of wind. Stop the wind from blowing. See how much luck you have. You won't succeed at all. Arjuna was saying, by force, I can't control my mind. And then Krishna tells him, yes, you're right, it's very difficult. But he says, vairagyena cha griyate, if you practice a simple life and use the correct method, it is possible to control the mind, and the correct method is bhakti yoga. So the muni, he cannot focus his mind on Krishna. And in verses 62 through 63, there's the famous sequence of how we get trapped in the world. Now, how many of you, raise your hands, how many of you have been to see Star Wars? The recent one? Oh, you did, you saw it, huh? That's good, he's an honest man. I haven't seen it, but I heard that in the middle, when, I don't know who the...
Jedi,
the teacher, who's the teacher, what's his name? Alec Guinness or something, or... The teacher of the Jedi warriors,
Yoda,
when he begins his teaching, he's telling them, while contemplating the objects of the senses, a man develops attachment. And from such attachment, lust develops. And from lust, anger. So they use this even in Star Wars. We distributed a lot of books in Hollywood. I think Steven Spielberg and who did Star Wars? George Lucas. I think he got a Bhagavad Gita. So, Krishna, quoting from Star Wars, having been taught by Yoda. No. But Krishna does warn Arjuna that a Buddha yogi does not allow himself to get caught in this cycle. And then in the last section, Krishna talks about engaging the senses with regulation and in religious principles. The mind remains peaceful, satisfied, and self-controlled.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, these are all raga dvesha vivuktaistu vishayan indriyaischaran atma basyar videyatma prasadam adigachiti. I love this. He's Krishna's talking about the regulative principles that we follow: no intoxication, no illicit sex, no gambling. And he says, prasadam adigachati, it is the Lord's mercy, prasadam. Krishna's mercy is that he has given us this path to follow. It may be a little difficult, but it's the only way to freedom. Nobody else in the world bothered to tell us the truth. Srila Prabhupada came to the West and he did not compromise. He didn't want numbers of followers. He didn't want position. He didn't want name and fame. He simply wanted to preach and find one person that he could make Krishna conscious. And therefore, even though Prabhupada gave us this process which may be a little difficult for us, but he's our only true friend. Medicine is not supposed to taste like candy all the time. If you're sick and you've got some serious disease, then you have to take your medicine, and it may be bitter. When you're cured, you'll say, oh, the doctor was my best friend. While you're taking the medicine, you'll say, oh, I hate that doctor. But he's thinking of your long-term welfare. And various other verses here. Prasade sarva dukanam hanir ashopa jayate prasanna chetya soyasu buddhi paryavatistate. For one who is thus satisfied in Krishna consciousness, the threefold miseries of material existence exist no longer. So even in the Hatha Yoga chapter, or the Ashtanga Yoga chapter, the sixth chapter, Krishna tells Arjuna, that you should try to control or regulate your activities. Regulate your eating, regulate your sleeping. If you do this, it will naturally mitigate your material suffering. Without even coming to the spiritual platform, if you just regulate your life, you'll have a healthier life, a better life, a more satisfying life. These fools who are running here and running there, trying to have unlimited sense gratification, they're not happy. The way the world is going, more wars, more
cruelty, more greed, more corruption. These are not symptoms. The way the world is going, more wars, more cruelty, more greed, more corruption. These are not symptoms of happy people. These are not symptoms of happy people. So, then in the last verse, Krishna says that you can practice this Buddha Yoga and even in this lifetime be situated on the transcendental platform. So are there any questions? Glantaraj Srimad Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai.